Praise the Lord. Peace and many blessings. We are grateful to God for tonight. I believe that God will speak to us and God will open our eyes to know Him better this evening, even as we listen to the word of the Lord. Shall we bow our heads? You want to pray for yourself? You want to pray and say, Father, teach me your word, even as it comes unto me. Give me great understanding. Give me great insight. Let new revelations come unto me. In the name of Jesus, let me know you better. Help me to know your spirit better. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. For tonight, we thank you that we have come into your presence to hear from you. We pray that even as your word comes, we pray that let great understandings come to us. We pray that help us to know you better. Help us to know your way better in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we have prayed with thanksgiving. Amen. This evening we shall be looking at the topic, learning to agree with the Holy Spirit. Learning to agree with the Holy Spirit. Learning to agree with the Holy Spirit. Shall we turn our Bibles to the book of Revelations 22 and we'll read verse 17. Revelations 22 verse 17. The Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Hallelujah. Now, my interest in this verse is the first sentence. The Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, in this verse, the Bible talks about the Spirit. Now, the Spirit it talks about here is the Holy Spirit. Remember that we are looking at the subject, learning to agree with the Holy Spirit. Learning to agree with the Holy Spirit. And this verse says that the Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit, and the bride, referring to the church. Remember that the bride is the church of God. Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. So the bride is you and I. The bride is the believer. Now, the verse is saying that the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, and the bride, which is you, the believer, are saying, come. They are saying the same thing. They are mentioning the same thing. They are agreeing to the same thing. Hallelujah. So, the Spirit and the bride, the Spirit and the believer are totally in agreement with each other, according to this verse. Hallelujah. They are both interested in the same things. They both have the desire for the same outcome. They both have the desire for the same thing. The Spirit and the bride are in agreement one with another. Now, in this kingdom of God, if the kingdom will be strong and formidable, it's dependent on the degree to which the Spirit and the bride work together in agreement. Hallelujah. I'll say that again. If the kingdom of God will become strong and formidable, is dependent on the degree to which the Spirit and the bride can move together in unity, can move together in agreement. In this present dispensation, one of the things we need most earnestly in these times is for the Spirit and the bride to see the same way. It's for the Spirit and the bride to agree. It's for the Spirit and the bride to connect in the same lane. Praise the Lord. Now, when you read the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, Ezekiel has a very interesting encounter with the Lord. In that encounter in Ezekiel, chapter 1, Ezekiel has met some angelic beings. Now, the angelic being he met was the cherub. And there was something interesting about the cherub in Ezekiel, chapter 1. Let's look at verse 10 to verse 12. Ezekiel As for the likeness of their faces, so he was describing the cherubs. He says, as for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right. Each of the four had the face of the ox on the left side. Each of the four had the face of an eagle. So he was practically saying that the cherub had four faces. The face of a man, of a lion, of an ox, of an eagle. 11. That's where their faces, their wings stretched upward. Two wings of each other touched one another, and two covered their bodies. 12. And each went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. This is where I'm interested in. It says, and each went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go. The cherubs went wherever the Spirit wanted to go. That angelic being, they do not move on their own accord. They moved where the Spirit moved. If the Spirit passes left, they pass left. If the Spirit moves center, they move. If the Spirit moves right, they move right. So the movement of that angelic being was predicated on where the Spirit goes. Hallelujah. This is where God wants us to come to. Where we move as the Spirit moves. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go. Wherever the Spirit moved, that is where they moved. It is sad that some of us, the Spirit can be moving here, and then we will move in a totally opposite direction. But this was how the angelic beings moved in the vision that Ezekiel saw. He saw the Spirit, and he saw that when the Spirit moves, then the angelic beings also move in direction of the Spirit. The topic we are talking about, learning to agree with the Holy Spirit. At the end of the day, this is how we want to move. And we went wherever the Spirit wanted us to go. And we moved however the Spirit wanted us to move. Praise the Lord. I pray that God will help us to get to this realm in Him. The realm where the Spirit and the Bride will speak the same thing. The realm where we will go wherever the Spirit wants us to go. Where we will move however the Spirit wants us to move. Where our movement is not predicated on our intelligence, but is predicated on the divine leading of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And you see, you have to understand that the true attestation of your sonship in Christ is dependent on the degree to which you are led by the Spirit. I'll say that again. The true attestation of your sonship in Christ is determined by the degree to which you are led by the Spirit. How do we know this? Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the degree to which you are seen as a son of God is dependent on the degree to which you are led by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the ones who are referred to as the son. As many as agree with the Spirit, as many as move in accordance to the movement of the Spirit, they are the ones who are known as the sons of God. When you read the same verse in the New Century Version, I don't know if you have it. If you don't have it, I'll read from here. In the New Century Version, this is how he puts this verse. He says, the true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. The true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. Now, if the Bible says the true children of God, it means they are false children of God. So, if the true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them, then the false children of God are those who do not let His Spirit lead them. Praise the Lord. So, in this kingdom, according to this verse, there are two kinds of sons. There are two kinds of children. There are true children and there are false children. And a true child of God is one who is led by the Spirit. And a false child is one who is led by the flesh. You see, when you understand this, then you have a better understanding and appreciation of what the Bible now will say in Romans 8, verse 1. Let's look at Romans 8, 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, those who escape condemnation, It's not those who are just in Christ Jesus, but those who, after being in Christ Jesus, they walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. So the true children are those who walk according to the Spirit, and the false children are those who walk according to the flesh. Praise the Lord. The degree to which you are led by the Spirit is what attests to the degree to which you are a son of God. You see, you have to understand that when you say the sinner's prayer, the sinner's prayer gives you entry to becoming a son of God. But what sustains your membership as a son of God is the leadership of the Spirit, is the degree to which you are led by the Spirit. So the sinner's prayer gives you authority, gives you permission. You see, that's why the Bible says that as many as received him, to those that believed in his name, he gave them power to become the sons of God. That word power means authorization, permission. So to those who believed in his name, he gave them permission, he gave them the chance, he gave them the authority to become the child, the children of God. But what now sustains your membership as a child of God is as many as are led by the Spirit. They are the ones who are the sons of God. Praise the Lord. So we have to get to the point where our walk with God does not just end, we've said the sinner's prayer and we believe that we are the children of God. Now, even when I'm talking to people and we say, are you saved? And I said, I gave my life to Christ. Well, I said the sinner's prayer. When you read Romans 8:1, you realize that, it's not, you know, many of us, once they give that answer, he's born again, and he's a child of God. But when you begin to understand Romans 8:1, then you realize that, on that day, it's not going to be easy at all. Yeah, saying the sinner's prayer alone does not rescue you from condemnation. It says there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, it's out of this understanding that in the kingdom of God, we have sheep and goat. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that in the last day, the sheep shall be separated from the goat. So within the kingdom, there is sheep and there is goat. Who are the sheep and who are the goat? Those who are led by the Spirit are the sheep. Those who are led by the flesh are the goats. So on the last day, when the Bible says that he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, it means that he's going to separate those who were led by the Spirit from those who were led by their flesh. It's a serious matter. This learning to agree with the Holy Spirit is not a simple matter like that. As we delve into it, we realize that's a very serious matter. Praise the Lord. So the sheep are those who are led by the Spirit. They are the ones who are classified as sheep. You see, that's why when you read Psalm 23, then you understand better this thing about sheep. Let's look at Psalm 23. Let's start from verse 1. Psalm 23 from verse 1. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If I say the Lord is my shepherd, it means I am sheep. Praise the Lord. Now, what makes me sheep? Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. His leading me is what makes me sheep. Hallelujah. It's not my confessing that I'm sheep. You don't become sheep because you confess over yourself that you are sheep. You become sheep because of his leading. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does the shepherd do? Apart from making us lie down in green pastures, he leads us. He leads us. He leads us. He leads me beside still water. So the leading of God by his Spirit is what makes you sheep. The degree to which his Spirit can lead you is what makes you sheep. He says, he makes me lie down. Some of us, the Spirit cannot make us do anything. He makes me. What can the Spirit make you do? Can the Spirit make you lie down in worship? Can the Spirit make you give all your offering in your pocket? Say, he makes me. Who is the he? The shepherd. The shepherd makes me lie down. To what degree can the shepherd by his Spirit make you do so? That is what determines whether you are sheep or you are not sheep. Praise the Lord. 3. He restores my soul. Then he says, he leads me in the path of righteousness. He leads me. He leads me. The sheep, is dependent on his leading.
It's dependent on the leading of the Spirit. Once you can succumb to the leading of the Spirit, then you can say that the Lord is my shepherd. A lot of people are saying the Lord is my shepherd, but the reality is that the Lord is not their shepherd. Praise the Lord. And you see, when we say the Lord is my shepherd, we are just focused on the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's the I shall not want part that gingers us to say the Lord is my shepherd. We neglect the he leads me part. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at verse 4. It says, yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and your staff, they comfort me. When I read this verse, I said that, look, the reason why the writer is confident to say that, yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, then he confidently says that, for thou art with me. What confidence does he have that God is with me? Because he knows that God is the one leading him. So because he's the one leading, I have that, even when I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I know he is with me. Because even that valley, I'm there because he led me. He led me. Praise the Lord. For thou art with me. Thy rod and your staff, they will comfort me. So when you pass through valleys of the shadow of death, once you know that you are led of the Spirit, it's on that thing that you are able to confidently say that, for thou art with me. Praise the Lord. And you see, this is what the Bible meant when he talks about Enoch. And he says that then Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. What the Bible is trying to say, that Enoch walked so much under the influence of the leadership of the Spirit that God looked at him and said, look, you are not there. The grave is not worthy of your presence. So I'll just take you up like that into heaven. Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked under the leadership, under the guidance, under the inspiration of the Spirit. He walked in agreement with the Spirit. Hallelujah. You see, you can never be light to your generation without learning to walk in agreement with the Spirit. You can never be light to your generation without learning to walk in agreement with the Spirit. I say that many times we quote things and we think that by just quoting them, they happen because like we said, that I am the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be. Your light, you know, doesn't come just because you confess that I am the light of the world. There's a place for confession in the kingdom. There are places also where we have to connect by the Spirit for certain things to work. Pray, hallelujah. Confession doesn't solve every problem in this kingdom. The degree to which light exudes out of you is determined by the degree to which you follow and walk in agreement with the Spirit. Let's look at John 8, verse 12. John 8, 12. It says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He who follows me, he's the one who ends up having light. It is he who follows me. When I speak and he follows, he ends up having light. When the Spirit speaks and he agrees, he ends up having light. So it's not your confession that makes you have light. It's your following that makes you have light. It is he that follows me. He will not walk in darkness. He will have the light of life. He that follows me. He that follows the whisperings of my Spirit. Hallelujah. The degree to which you exude light is the degree to which you follow the Spirit. The degree to which you follow the Spirit. I always say that there are many pathways to exuding the glory of God, to exuding light. Look, you may pray 40 days and 40 nights. Somebody may pray just 1 hour every day. But a certain light may exude out of the person that may not exude from you. And you may ask yourself, but I pray more than him. I fast more than him. He doesn't go long days of fasting and prayer. I do that. But why is that there's a certain light coming from him that is not coming from me? Look, you may pray more than him, but he may follow more than you. Yeah, you may pray more than him, but he may follow more than you. You may pray more than him, but him, when the spirit enters and says, empty all your pocket into the offering, he will do it without thinking. You will calculate the thing. So a certain light flows out of him that does not flow from you. Because even with his 1 hour prayer, he's ready to follow. And with your 40 days, 40 nights, you struggle to follow. It is they that follow me, they have the light of life. Hallelujah. And I always use Abraham as an example that, look, Abraham, I've read the Bible. I don't see him doing wild prayers, wild fastings. No. Yet Abraham is a giant in our kingdom. What is his secret? Following. The light he represents came by following. God says, leave your country. He followed. Can you imagine? A voice appeared. It's not like Abraham knew God, though. Then God now says, no. He came from a pagan background and he encounters God, and God says that leave their country. He follows the voice of the Spirit. He leaves. God tells him that, look, send Hagar and Ishmael away. He leaves. He sends them away. God says, go and sacrifice Isaac. Then he follows. And you wonder why he's a light to his generation and generations beyond. He that follows me, he is the one who have the light of life, follows my voice. He that agrees with the whisperings of my spirit. You see, Abraham followed God to the detriment of his life. He followed the voice of the Spirit to the detriment of his life. Because you see, he could have died on that journey. Because remember, he is going to a place he doesn't know. Anything could have captured him on the way. Because remember, David one day said that, look, one day I was taking care of my father's sheep and a lion and a bear just showed up. So it's like there, it's easy for a lion and a bear to just show up on you. Remember that when Joseph's brothers sold him, they took his clothes and they dipped it in blood and they went to show to their father that, look, it looks like a wild animal has just finished our brother. And Jacob believed them, which means that it was a possibility. It wasn't a far-fetched story. So Jacob easily believed them. Which means that, look, as Abraham was traveling, an animal could have just finished him. Hallelujah. But he was in agreement with the Spirit. When the Spirit spoke and said, go, he said, okay, I'm going. Look, he sent Hagar away at the detriment of having a relationship with his son Ishmael. As for Sarah, Ishmael was nothing to her, so it's fine. But Abraham, no matter the circumstances, Ishmael was his son. And he loved Ishmael also. But God said, send them away. And Abraham said, I'll listen to you. I'll listen to the voice of the Spirit. I'll send them. It is paining me that I have to send my son away. But if you, God, say that I should send my son, I'll send my son. You see, that's when we is like, oh, when God said, okay, send Hagar and, oh, okay, I've sent them. No. Abraham loved Ishmael. Abraham, even when God came and said that Isaac shall be the blessed child, Abraham still went and interceded for Ishmael and said that make Ishmael also great. And God said, because you interceded, I will make Ishmael also great. If you didn't love Ishmael like that, do you think you will intercede again after he knows that Isaac will be blessed? He has gone to intercede again for the Ishmael. He meant that his love was also in Ishmael. Praise the Lord. But when God said, send them away, he said, I will agree with your spirit. I will agree with your spirit. Then it's like God doesn't finish there. Now he comes and says, now this one, kill him. Then he still says, I will agree with your spirit. It's not easy. Every time I read about Abraham's, no, I mean, if you've been tested once, it's okay. If it doesn't end there, then it's like greater tests. Hallelujah. After God watched the way Abraham followed him, he said that, look, I will make you father of many nations. You will be the father of many nations. How did he end up being such light? He who follows me. He who follows me. He who follows my voice. He who agrees with what I'm doing. I pray that God will help us to agree with what he's doing. I pray that we shall not fight what God wants to do with our lives. I pray that we shall not fight the voice of the Spirit to us. But like Abraham, we shall learn to flow with the voice of the Spirit. And let me say that, look, like Abraham, when you decide to listen to the voice of the Spirit, it doesn't mean that it's going to be rosy and easy. Sometimes the voice of the Spirit will lead you along paths that are challenging, will lead you along paths that are turbulent, will lead you along paths that come with risks. Yet the Lord still expects that we follow His voice. The Lord still expects that we follow His Spirit. Let's look at something interesting in Matthew chapter 8. And let's read from verse 23. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Now, this was talking about Jesus and His disciples. It says, now when He got into a boat, this is Jesus. When Jesus got into a boat, His disciples followed Him. So, now, you have to understand that Jesus called the 12, number one, that they might be with Him. Then number two, that He might send them. So the first assignment of the disciples was to be with Jesus wherever He went. So if Jesus is going this way, they have to agree with where He's going and also follow. So Jesus represented the voice of the Spirit to them. So that wherever Jesus went, they had to also go. They had to agree with Him and to go with Him. So the Bible says that when He got into the boat, the disciples followed Him. The disciples agreed with Him. They moved in agreement with the voice of the Spirit. They moved in agreement with the leadership of the Spirit. 24. And suddenly, a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. Now, notice that the disciples went according to the leading of the Spirit. They followed Jesus, they followed the Master, they followed the voice of the Spirit. Now, despite the fact that they followed the voice of the Spirit, it did not make them immune to a storm arising on them. Hallelujah. It's not like they took their own path and then a storm. No, they were following the Master. Then a storm came. Sometimes you can follow the voice of the Spirit into a storm. Praise the Lord. It's like we don't like that part. Yeah. Sometimes the voice of the Spirit will lead you into a storm. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. It was in that same wilderness that Satan came to tempt Him and found an occasion to abort His mission. But Jesus did not enter into the wilderness by the voice of Satan. It's the Spirit. And the Bible says He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And it was the leading of the Spirit. So the Spirit led Him to a place where Satan would come and tempt Him. Are you understanding the message now? Yeah. So as we decide to follow the voice of the Spirit, we have to understand that it will not always be rosy. It will not always be easy. The Spirit will lead us into places where there will be challenges. The Spirit will lead us into places where it may be difficult, but we have to understand that it is better to follow the voice of the Spirit than to follow what you have in your heart. Praise the Lord. I believe that we have to understand this so that when somebody decides to follow the voice of the Spirit and you start to see storms, don't be tempted to think that you heard wrong. Praise the Lord. Yeah. When you start to follow and agree with the voice of the Spirit, in following and agreeing with the voice of the Spirit, when storms start to come, don't begin to second guess. Did I hear wrong? Did I get it wrong? And it's because our whole understanding of following the Spirit is that we follow the Spirit at the risk of no storm. But I just proved to you from Scripture that they followed Jesus, but they followed Jesus into a storm. Jesus was led by the Spirit, but Jesus was led by the Spirit into a wilderness. And what did He meet there? Temptation. Hallelujah. One thing we must be rest assured of is that when the Spirit leads us, even when He leads us in the valley of the shadow of death, because we know that we are led by the Spirit, we can confidently say, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. I did not enter this thing by myself. I got here by the leadership of the Spirit. That same Spirit that brought me here, that same Spirit will fight my cause. That same Spirit will take care of me. That same Spirit will help me through this battle. Why? Because I was led by the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves is that, how do we get to the point where we walk totally agreeing with the Spirit? Everything I've said has brought us to the understanding that we have to submit to the leadership of the Spirit. We have to walk in agreement with the Spirit. But how do we get to that point where we walk totally agreeing with the Spirit? Now, for you to be able to walk agreeing with the Spirit, one great virtue you must have is the virtue of faith towards God. You can never walk agreeing with the Spirit until you have this thing called faith towards God. In the book of Hebrews, the six fundamental doctrines, one of them is faith towards God. The Bible talks about resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, laying on of hands. One of the six fundamental doctrines is faith towards God. You can never walk in agreement with the Spirit without growing in faith towards God. You must grow in faith in the fact that the God who has spoken to you by His Spirit will do just as He said He will do. If you don't grow in this dimension of faith, you will struggle to follow the Spirit. You will struggle to agree with the Spirit. You must grow in faith in the fact that the God who has spoken to you by His Spirit, He will do just as He said He will. Then on the basis of this confidence, you move to now execute what you heard from the Spirit. Hallelujah. The reason why many of us struggle to flow with the Spirit is because we don't have this thing called faith. We don't have this thing called faith. You see, I always respect the widow who had the last meal to go and prepare he and the son, and they will eat and they will die. And then Elijah shows up and says that, this is what the Spirit is saying. Go and prepare that thing and bring to me. Look, if you don't have faith in God, power, that this is the voice of a prophet, you will use your human calculations to say, no, God should appear to me Himself. Talk to me also Himself. You are a prophet, so what? I said I have my last meal. I said, yeah. That's when that scripture comes, which says that, believe in God and you shall be established. Believe also in His prophets and you shall prosper. So sometimes the voice of the Spirit will come to you through the mouth of the prophet of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you don't have faith, you can never follow and agree with the Spirit. Because you see, God said, my ways are not your ways, neither my thoughts your thoughts. So the way God will lead you by His Spirit is very different from your human calculation. So if you have not learned to build faith in God, you can never flow in agreement with the Spirit. You can never flow in agreement with the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Let me read from here. The Bible says that He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. He who spoke to you is faithful, who also will do it. The Spirit that spoke to you is faithful, who also will do it. I believe that when we are able to catch this revelation, that the one speaking to us is faithful, the one speaking to us will do it, the one speaking to us will come through for us, the one speaking to us will neither leave us nor forsake us, the one speaking to us will never disappoint us. When we come to that point where we have total faith and total trust in God, is able to easily follow the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm sure as I'm speaking, a lot of us are recollecting times where the Spirit has spoken to us and we did not follow, and it was just one thing. What if it doesn't go the way it is expected to go? Many of us, I'm sure God, the Spirit of the Lord, has spoken to us to give certain amounts before. And you've asked of this project I want to do, if I give this amount, how would the project come to pass? And we have used human calculation and logic to cancel the voice of the Spirit. We say, and sometimes it's not because you don't want to in your heart of heart, but you've not built your faith to know that, look, the thing he's asking you to give, leave him. He knows that he is faithful. He will do it. The project will be completed one way or another. Yeah. Hallelujah. Until we get to the point where we grow in faith towards God. You see, and that is why Abraham was called the father of faith. He understood that, look, even if I kill Isaac, this God can give me another Isaac. He can give me another Isaac. That was the that's why the Bible says that, and Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Everything about Abraham was predicated on his faith with God. That's why he was able to just flow with the voice of God. That's why he was able to flow with the voice of God. They will believe that he is faithful. And even when it comes to ministry, many of us are not moving in certain realms because we don't have faith in God. Many of us are holding back praying for sick people because we don't have faith that he will do it. He that called you and instructed you to pray for sick people, he will do it. We've not matured in that faith that the person who said, I've given you the gift, I've given you the ability, I've given you the grace. We've not grown in our faith that when we try it out, he will do it. Hallelujah. The person that called you and said that, look, I have given you grace to preach. The reason why we've not veered out is because we've not yet gotten to the point where we believe that when we talk, there will be conviction. That's why we are still struggling to agree with the Spirit. You see, and somebody who struggled to agree with the Spirit was Gideon. God was just patient and merciful with Gideon. But Gideon is one person who struggled to have faith. The angel appeared before him and said, greetings, that mighty man of valor. Then the first thing he says is that, look, if God was really, 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 why has all of these things happened to us? Then he says that, look, okay, give me a sign. He didn't ask for one sign. He asked for one, two, three signs. Small, go and fight and then victory will be yours. An angel has appeared to you. It's not the Spirit that's spoken in your heart. No. We here, most of us, we have to just flow with the Spirit speaking to us through our heart. You, an angel, appeared to you physical. Say, no, I still need three signs. It was one problem. Faith towards God. Faith towards God. Faith towards God. I pray that we shall get to the point where we have so much confidence in our God. Once we get to the point where we have confidence in God, we can flow easily by the Spirit. We can flow easily by the Spirit. We can flow easily. You see, a lot of us, we want to be able to understand everything before we move. And by the grace of God, as I've moved and I've ministered, I realize that you don't have to understand everything. You don't have to understand everything. Just follow. Just follow. Just follow. Then once you've heard and you are clear that this, just follow. You don't have to understand everything. If you are waiting to understand everything before you move, the light that will exude from you will be limited. And I just want to share this testimony from what happened on Friday, just to help us to understand this, that don't always wait to understand everything. During the Friday meeting with the youth, as I was praying for them, there was a young lady who was lying down there. So as I was just moving, the Spirit said, touch her leg. So I just touched her leg and I began to pray over her leg. Now, after the prayer, she came and she said, look, when she was coming for the meeting, she didn't have leg pain. When she entered the meeting, her leg started paining her. Then Satan spoke to her. Do you remember that your grandmother had this problem and she has leg pain? That is what is coming to happen to you. So in the course of the meeting, while she was there rolling, sometimes you think it's the Spirit of God which has hit them and anointing. No, she's dealing with struggle between what Satan is telling her that is coming to happen to her, and she's feeling the symptoms in the meeting. In the process, I just said, touch her leg. So I just touched it. You don't have to understand why you have to touch her leg. touch her leg. So I touched her leg. Then after, she said that, look, that thing that she was feeling left. And that was what she was going through when she was rolling on the floor. If you want to understand, why should we touch her? If you don't explain, I won't. So a certain light will not exude from you. Praise the Lord. We have to get to the point where when we hear, we follow. Where we hear, we follow. And you can't get to that realm when you don't have a revelation of the scripture. He that called you is faithful. He's faithful and he will do it. He that called you is faithful. When you enter that point of revelation of the faithfulness of God, when he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When you enter that realm of understanding the faithfulness of God and how true he is to what he's saying, you can easily flow with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I pray that God will help us. I pray that God will help us. I pray that God will help us to increase in faith. It will solve many of our struggles to follow the Holy Spirit. It will solve many of our struggles to follow the Holy Spirit. It will solve many of our struggles. And as I'm talking, I know that some of us are reflecting. And you can see that some time back, if you had listened to the Holy Spirit, things probably wouldn't have gone the way they were. And it was because you did not have enough faith. Tonight we'll pray and we'll say that, Lord, we want to be able to flow with your Spirit. When your Spirit speaks, with our whole heart we want to agree. But we cannot enter that realm when we have not reached the point where we have total faith in you, where we have total confidence in you. Tonight we will rise up and we'll begin to pray. And this is what we'll be praying about, that God increase our faith in you. Help us to trust you. Oh, for grace to trust you more. Oh, for grace to trust you more. When we can trust God more, we can easily flow with his voice. We can easily flow with the leadership of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The last thing I want to say before we rise up to pray is that we have to get to the point where we realize that the Spirit sees and knows better than us. The Spirit sees and knows better than us. He sees further than us. He sees further than all we can see. Therefore, if I am following the Spirit, I'm better off than following my intellect. Because the Spirit, the Bible says that the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That word searcheth all things means that the Spirit knoweth all things. So if the Spirit knoweth all things, I am better off following the Spirit than following my mind. Praise the Lord. I pray that God will help us. I pray that God will help us. Shall we be on our feet? We just want to spend a little time to pray. And we want God to help us. We want to live a life that is able to flow with the Holy Spirit. We want to live a life that is able to move along with the Holy Spirit. And we have seen that we can't enter that realm when we haven't gotten to the point of faith towards God. When our faith in him, when our faith in his voice, when our faith in what he's asking us to do has not grown, we will not be able to agree with the Spirit. You just want to pray, just in the next few minutes, just about 5 minutes, and I want to say, Father, help me. I'm struggling to follow the Spirit because my faith is small. I'm struggling to follow the Spirit because my faith is small. It's not because I'm stubborn. It's not because I am unwilling, but it's because my faith is small. When you tell me to jump, my faith is small. Oh, that I will not hurt myself. When you tell me to give, my faith is small, and I wonder, how will I survive? Father, I pray, help me, help me. Help me to grow. 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 Help me to grow in this thing called faith towards God. Help me to grow in this thing called faith towards God. I will never be able to climb to the realm where I flow according to the leading of your Spirit without growing in faith towards you. Father, I pray, help me to imbibe this revelation that he that called me is faithful and he will do it. Help me to imbibe this revelation that he that spoke to me by his Spirit is faithful and he will do it. Help me to imbibe this consciousness, oh, that the Spirit will never fail. Oh, Father, we pray In the name of Jesus, and we ask for your help. 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 Father, tonight we ask for your help. We say, help us to grow in faith. Let our confidence in you, let our confidence in you rise to another dimension in the name of Jesus. Let our confidence in you. Many of us, you have spoken to us. You have told us what to do. You have told us where you want us to go. You have told us the line you want us to toe, but we lack courage. We lack faith, and so we are not able to flow with what the Spirit wants us to do, and it's all because our faith in you is small. Many of us, you've placed giftings in us. Many of us, you've placed callings in us, but we are struggling to flow because we are thinking, what if it doesn't work? What if it fails? What if it doesn't turn out the way it's supposed to turn out? And we have just quelled back, and we are not moving in everything we know has been revealed to us about ourselves by the Spirit. But Father, we pray tonight, and we say, oh God, give us faith. Help us to grow in our faith. Help us to grow in our faith. Help us to grow in our faith. Father, we pray, help us to pull out every doubt. Help us to cast doubts. Help us to cast questions. Help us to cast doubts that is in our minds about the God that we serve, about his ability to come true, about his ability to do what he says he will do. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Help us to cast down imaginations that hinder us from flowing with the Spirit. Imaginations of fear, imaginations of failure, imaginations of unexpected and not being arrived at. We pray, oh God, help us to cast out all of these imaginations. Imaginations of failure, imaginations that we shall be disgraced, imaginations that we will suffer if we follow the voice of the Spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus, and we say, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. One day the disciples came to you and said, Lord, increase our faith. Father, we stand here tonight and we pray the same prayer, and we say, oh God, mayest thou increase our faith. Oh, for grace to trust you more. Oh, for grace to trust you more. It is when we have gotten to the point where we have total confidence in you, where we have gotten to the point where we have total faith in you. When you say, leave that job, we can follow your voice and leave that job. When you say, wait, we can follow your voice and wait. When you say, turn left, we can follow your voice and turn left. When you say, don't marry that person, we can follow your voice and not marry that person. When you say, don't enter into that business, we can follow your voice and not enter into that business. We cannot walk in such realms when we have not climbed into the region of faith in you, your faith towards God. When you say, don't marry that girl, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, grant us the grace to have faith in your voice, to have faith in your wisdom, to have faith in your leading, to have faith, oh God, that you know the plans you have for us. They are plans of good and not of evil. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, like that widow who had the last meal. When your voice speaks to us and says, give that last meal, give that last coin, give that last set, give that last money, give that last thing that you have. Oh, because of our confidence in your voice, may we be able to follow in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, help us to have faith like Abraham. When you say leave, let us leave. When you say sacrifice, let us sacrifice. When you say surrender this, help us to be able to surrender this. In the name of Jesus, we pray, oh God, like Isaac, when you tell us to still remain in the land of the Philistines, help us out of faith to still believe in you. The Bible says that there was famine in all of Philistine, but you said to Isaac, do not leave the land of the Philistines. Remain in the land of the Philistines. I will bless you in the midst of famine. Everybody's crop will not be growing, but you, your crop will grow in the land of the Philistines. When you have spoken to us in such ways, Lord, help us to follow. Help us not to look at the Philistines around us. Help us to follow in the name of Jesus. Help us, oh God, not to take decisions based on how the economy is going. Help us to take decisions based on the voice of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, tonight we say help us. 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 In the name of Jesus, you know better than us. You said my ways are not your ways, neither your thoughts our thoughts. Father, help us to fully surrender. Help us to fully surrender to your leading. Help us to fully surrender to your whispering. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for all of us here tonight. I pray for the ones struggling to follow your voice. I pray for that person turning and tossing and saying, shall I do it? Shall I not do it? Shall I follow it? Shall I not follow it? What if it doesn't go well? What if it ends in failure? Father, I pray, grant that person courage right now to flow along with your program. Grant that person faith right now to flow along with your leading in the name of Jesus. I pray right now and I say, let every doubt be casted out of them. Let every fear be casted out of them. Fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of how it will turn out. Father, I pray, give them the confidence to follow you. Give them the confidence to walk with you. Give them the confidence to hearken to your voice in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we bless you. We thank you for your help. We thank you for your insight. We thank you for your leading. In Jesus' name we have prayed with thanksgiving. Amen. Peace and many blessings.